Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft.
And I, on the other hand, am Alistair Beckett King.
Alistair, are you ready for a spooky haunting at the end of a history lesson?
Haunt me up, baby! Wait. History lesson?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the story of the Hanging Judge of Lyme Regis. And just for context, at the very start, just before we started recording, I was bragging to you about how good a dad I was.
I wonder if that'll come up in the episode.
Have a listen. And then something spooky happened. Just heard the kids coming out of their bedroom, though, which is, I'm going to need to be the exact opposite of avuncular and tell them to go to bed right now.
Go and shout at your children and then I'll come back and tell me a story about what a good dad you are.
Yes, I will.
Maybe in the edit we could add in some sound effects of doors slamming and stomping and shouting here to make James seem like more of a tyrant.
Okay, turns out I've got a ghost.
Oh, it was just a little ghost?
Yeah, it was just a little ghost. There was clearly the noise of children getting out of their bed and sneaking downstairs, going to bedroom, fast asleep.
Classic.
Classic ghost move.
If I were you, James, I would avoid opening a reflective bathroom mirror cupboard.
Oh, I can open it all I like. It's closing
it. Yeah. It's the closing moment. That's what you want to watch out for, the close.
Well, Alistair, weirdly enough, I didn't bring you here to talk about the discovery that I'm the father to a ghost. I actually brought you here for an almost history lesson. Are you ready for it?
I almost am, yeah.
Okay. Well, the reason I'd been so dadding recently is because the other weekend we went down to Lyme Regis, which is a coastal town in Devon. And as I refer to the county in my head now, next Dorset.
Oh!
It's the county next door to Dorset. I was so taken with that bit of wordplay, which I think I've done on the podcast before. It's sort of become what I call Devon in my head now. So much so.
I bet the people of Devon love that.
Well, I'd said it out loud and someone went, what? And I realised what I'd said and I had to just say, oh, I heard it on a podcast. And just had to hope they didn't ask me which one.
And then look it up and realise the podcast you were talking about was a podcast you do that you were plugging in the stealthiest way possible.
Yeah. Yikes. But no, fortunately, I managed to bite my tongue before I said it out loud. But no, Lyme Regis, next Dorset, one of the main reasons it's famous in recent times is it's the home of the mother of paleontology, Mary Anning.
She's the mother of paleontology.
She's the mother of all paleontology.
She's a great big paleontologist.
She found all the ichthyosaurs on the beach down in Lyme Regis. And loads of ammonites.
They're some of your wet dinosaurs, right?
Yeah, they're the ones, basically, they look like dolphins wearing monocles.
Monocles?
Yeah, they've got really like intricate eye bones, which makes them look like they've got monocles in.
Big, posh dolphins.
Snooty dolphins with longer noses. They're actually, of the Crystal Palace dinosaurs, they're one of the only ones that's actually halfway accurate.
Oh, okay, I can picture them now, yeah.
Because she found so many well-preserved ones in the cliffs on the beach and so on in, well, just off Lyme Regis. And she also found loads of ammonites.
So ammonites, make sure I'm visualising this correctly because this is an audio medium. Ammonites are the big spirally ones.
They are.
Right?
Yes. Used to be known, I think we talked about this in one of the Sunil episodes, as stone snakes because people thought they'd been turned to stone by an old saint. Yeah, or they when a saint like drove the snakes out of England, they turned them to stone and chucked them in the just off the cliffs at the beach.
They thought they stone beated them.
Yes.
But they
exactly.
Didn't. That's not what happened at all. They just petrified and turned to stone slowly.
Yes, ages ago.
Is petrified the wrong
word?
I'm not
well,
a paleontology, so I don't know.
No. And that was what we were looking for as a family. We went fossil hunting because I'm a cool dad. It was my wife's idea. I can't take credit for that.
I love fossil hunting.
Oh, yes.
Because the fossil can't really fight back in any way at all.
Yeah.
It's strongly tipped in your favour.
It is hunting. The least dangerous game.
You don't even need a bugle. Or a beagle. They're very similar sounding words considering they work together.
Yeah.
You don't want to get them mixed up.
No, you
blow down a beagle.
No, you need to bring some mouthwash.
That's what I imagine that mouth sound like.
They definitely make a noise if you picked up a beagle. By the way, we found some cool fossils, and there's loads of them. The other reason Lyme Regis is famous is because of the Monmouth Rebellion, a.k.a. the Pitchfork Rebellion, a.k.a. the Revolt of the West, a.k.a. the West Country Rebellion. Now, Alistair...
Is this like one of those folk bands that keep cycling through members?
No.
New names.
No. Not this time. This is like that...
It's a historical event.
It's a historical event. It's from 1685, which was around the time that the royal family was, like a band, cycling through new members with differing levels of popularity.
Now, I like the sound of Pitchfork Rebellion. Already on board with these guys. Is this finally the peasants standing up for their right and demanding their due? And hopefully... poking some landowners in a three-pronged manner.
No.
Oh, it's not that.
It's Charles II's bastard son being annoyed that his uncle became king. Yeah.
And who gets caught in the middle? The pitchfork-wielding peasantry, as always.
Yeah.
Doing the dirty work for someone's nephew.
Yeah.
Or something.
It was the Duke of Monmouth. That's where the name the Monmouth Rebellion comes from, which is the most famous name. Ducky Mons. James Scott, the Duke of Monmouth, who was Charles II's...
Good name.
He was Charles II's illegitimate son, and he wanted the throne, but when Charles II died, it went over to James II. James II, James Electric Boogaloo.
He was also called James, but he wasn't happy with it being a different James.
It was a different James, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking as a James, we're not all the
not
same.
Half of the James community.
Yes, we're not all exactly the same. There is Jimmy, Jamie, and the simple Jim. Where were we?
Monmouth.
The Duke of Monmouth. He'd been banished to the Dutch Republic along with some co-conspirators after the 1683 Rye House Plot.
Now, is that R-Y-E or was it just a little bit arch?
It was R-Y-E.
Which kind of Rye? Yeah. It was okay.
It was a place. It was simply a place. It wasn't a house with an attitude.
Okay. All right. I don't see this flying with the execs. I think we need this house to be a little bit more radical and a bit more in your face.
What it was an attempt to assassinate James and Charles, the brothers, because Charles had already sort of named his successor as being James II, his brother. And the Rye House Plot was headed up by, amongst others, the Duke of Monmouth. The plan was to ambush them on the way back from watching the horse races at Newmarket. And that was foiled because 10 days before the plan was supposed to happen, Newmarket burned down.
Oh, lucky.
Which is not the usual method of foiling an assassination plot. And it's weirdly both exciting and boring at the same time. So, yeah. But anyway, the plot got discovered and a bunch of people got banished to the Dutch Republic, including other co-conspirators such as Edward Norton.
Oh, yeah. Bruce Banner.
Yep. One of the Hulks.
Probably his best known role.
Yep. And others were executed, including William Russell.
Willie Russell?
Yeah, the playwright.
Russell Willie?
Yes. The musical... Mm. Is it the Brothers one? Blood Brothers. Yes, so that was back in 1683. And then, on the 11th of June 1685, the Duke of Monmouth landed at Lyme Regis, planning to take control of the area and then march on London. And he did quite well. He was proclaimed king in Taunton... I think it was king.
Okay, you take what you can get. I've gigged in Taunton, you know, they're not easy to win over, those people, so fair play to the lad.
And to repeat the joke that we did when we had the folks from Lex Education on about Taunton, I thought it smelled bad on the outside. That's a Star Wars reference.
Very good. Did that go over well with the Lex Education folks, or was it widely misunderstood at the time?
I think it was just me and Ron that got it, to be honest, at the time.
Well, you can't keep referencing these obscure arthouse films and expecting us to know what you're talking about.
That is true. Just do more of Willie Russell musicals and the works of Edward Norton. So this period of time was called the Duking Days because of the Duke.
The Duking Days.
The Duking Days.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. He's like, I'm the king of
Taunton.
In Taunton, they call me King.
They call me the King of Taunton. I may be a duke, but I'm a king in the land of Taunton.
Put up your dukes, I'm the King of Taunton.
Yeah, he's a tough guy.
Well,
tough guy.
This lasted 6 weeks.
I mean, sneer at that if you want, James, but we haven't been king at all.
That's true.
So being king for 6 weeks is pretty impressive.
Even in Taunton. I reckon we could become King of Taunton for the summer holidays.
Oh, okay, all right.
It lasted about 6 weeks. Locals sided with the rebellion and they fought a series of skirmishes, which culminated in a massive defeat at the Battle of Sedgemoor. The government army was commanded by the Earl of Faversham and John Churchill. That Churchill.
Related to the famous dog.
Yes. Well, John Churchill was the son of Winston Churchill, but not that one. Not a time-travelling that one.
No, of course not.
He was son of Winston Churchill Classic, as I think the history books
I'd
refer to him.
I'm surprised, because I've always thought of Winston Churchill as the kind of person who would travel back in time to have sex with his relatives.
Well, speaking of having sex with your relatives, that Winston Churchill, the Winston Churchill Classic, their descendants obviously includes new Winston Churchill on one side, but he's also sired the Spencer side, which includes Queen Elizabeth II, Elizabeth Boogaloo, and Charles III, of course.
Yeah, but hold on, isn't that the surname? Isn't that Princess Diana's surname?
A little Queen of Hearts we like to call Lady Diana.
What? So they were related to each other. This must be the first time that's happened in the aristocracies of Europe. Oh, embarrassing for them.
I have some chins to show you from Spain that might might change your mind.
Yeah, but the Spanish listeners are trying to do a chinny wreck on, but the aristocratic ones can't.
That's all they can wreck on. They can only wreck on things.
Anyway, I pronounced chinny wreck on in a really weird way there. We said itchy chin in the Northeast. We didn't say chinny reckon. We went,
we'd say itchy chin, chinny reckon, Jimmy Hill, a beard, and itchy beard.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And just if you were ever telling a story and someone, even if they're just wiping away a fly and touched their chin, you'd be like, no, it's true. It's actually true. There were
my
a lot
friend
of chin,
Ian would,
chin flies.
Would do a whole... He would draw a whole sort of goatee with his hands.
Oh, yes.
And then pluck out a single imaginary hair. Bing.
Very
and
nice.
At that point, you realise he didn't believe you.
You'd gone too far.
Yeah. Bink. That was the story is over.
Oh, that's nice. Our version was like, it would be, you know, your classic index and thumb on either side of the chin drawn down. And
yeah,
then
classic face.
Extended beyond the chin to imagine a very long pointy, and the longer and pointier and in fact curled up that bit, that imaginary beard was, reflected the tallness of the tail,
all curled like an Aladdin's shoe.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, back to the Battle of Sedgemoor. That took place in a place near Bridgewater, which has cropped up in a pod before. I think a man kicked a hare that he thought was a witch. I mean, that probably happened in a lot of places we've talked about. But this specific place that this happened was called Western Zoyland.
Ooh.
Which sounds imaginary, but it is a real place.
How's it spelled?
WESTONZOYLAND.
Ooh, Weston Zoyland.
Western Zoyland. Yeah, it's got a Z in, which is always fun in a place name. This is in contention for being the last battle on British soil. But some people would disagree. Most of them are Scottish or Jacobite. But ultimately, Monmouth did manage to escape the battle. Disguised as a peasant, he was caught in a ditch with a pocket full of peas. And apparently it was his...
What do you mean, caught with a pocket full of peas?
He had a pocket full of
like
peas.
Contraband.
He was starving and he just managed to get some peas from the field. And then he hid in a ditch. And then someone saw him and it was...
Scranning his peas.
It was his terrified eyes that gave him away.
As he popped a pee after pee into his mouth.
Yeah.
It's him. It's the one that they're looking for. I don't know why they'd have that accent.
Not real near me.
The one they're looking for.
It'd be him, what you reckon?
He's got a pocket full of peas.
Well, you must be... Hold on, mate. Is that the King of Taunton over there with a pocket full of peas? I believe it must be.
You pay for those peas, mate. You pay for those peas. You're coming in the field to take a piece.
He is taking the peas. Yeah, take you. Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's a good point. Not quite sure how many farmers there were in that scene. There are a number of very similar sounding farmers with quite unusual accents.
And they've all got a similar point of view, re-peas. They're all weirdly surprised to see peas. And yeah, this defeat led to the bloody assizes.
Oh, I'm sick of these blimmin' assizes.
It's the bloody assizes led by Judge Jeffries, a.k.a. the hanging judge. Now,
he sounds like a wrestler. He sounds like a WWE wrestler. It's Judge Jeffries. Boom, you know, strutting in, wide-angle lens, crowd going wild. Woo!
It's hanging Judge Jeffries. And his assistant, Bloody Assizes.
Yeah. Oh,
he's got a Paul Bearer vibe. I don't know if you remember 80s WWF enough to remember Paul Bearer.
Was there someone called Paul Bearer?
He was the sidekick of Undertaker.
The Undertaker, right. So very good.
It was kind of before the 90s when it got quite extreme, when it was quite silly, but they had characters. And yeah, The Undertaker had like an assistant. Like a few of them had assistants.
Yeah, when it was like Panto, but with serious injuries happening.
Yes, exactly. Like literally roided up pantomime. But yes, the bloody assizes. Judge Jeffries, his court travelled around
with
the West Country.
Steel chair.
Yes, he brought his own steel chair to the events. Yeah, his court travelled around the West Country and 1,400 prisoners were sentenced or dealt with. 300 were hanged, most of them being also drawn and quartered and gibbeted.
Wow, that is an incredibly high figure for both of those.
800 to 850 were transported to the colonies, basically into slavery, and most of the rest died of jail fever, which is typhus. Is that the same as typhus?
Not just being very enthusiastic about jail.
No, they were very enthusiastic.
Bad sanitary conditions.
Yeah, it was grim in there.
I don't like the sound of this guy.
No, Judge Jeffries, he was a real wrong un. Now, can we do a post-credits montage? Or it's probably it's at the end of the film, you know the one I mean. It's got a picture of them laughing and then it sort of freezes and goes into black and white and text comes up on the screen.
I love finding out what happened to people after the film ended in the form of text. Bring that back.
So, yeah, Winston Churchill classic, sired a bloodline that included new Winston Churchill, Queen Lizzie II, Charles III, Lady Diane, Duke of Monmouth.
Lady Diane.
He was beheaded.
No one calls her that.
Don't they?
Carry on.
Some people might if they're inaccurate. Yeah, Duke of Monmouth, you know, found in a ditch with a pocket full of peas.
Ditch peas, yeah. Yep.
He was beheaded in the Tower of London on July 15th after many blows of the axe. And it was Jack Ketch who did it, who you'll remember from the Punch and Judy origins.
Oh, yes, of course.
Eyewitness said it took about 7 or 8 blows to behead him.
Oh.
The Tower of London website says 5. They're probably trying to protect their reputation.
Jack Ketch, not a nice guy.
No.
Not a nice guy. He's everywhere by the time they've finished.
James II, on hearing William of Orange was on his way to invade in 1688, so only 3 years later, he fled and threw the Great Seal of the Realm in the Thames. That's a wax seal, I need to specify.
Not an animal.
No, because that would have bloomin' loved it.
Yeah, exactly. But take to it like a duck to water, or a seal to water.
A seal to a river.
A Brer Rabbit to a briar patch.
Yes, but he tried to run away to France.
The seal would have been like, you fool, now my powers are greater than ever.
He ultimately ran away to France. He was kind of allowed to escape. And the next one in the post-credit montage is Judge Jeffries, hanging Judge Jeffries. He was made Lord Chancellor by James II in 1685. But obviously that only lasted 3 years because when James fled, Judge Jeffries also had to flee. And he was ultimately captured in a pub in Wapping. And the pub's now called the Town of Ramsgate, which is confusing for a pub
name. That's really confusing.
But it's not the most confusing pub name. Another confusing pub name crops up in this story. It's half a mile away, also in Wapping, and it was one of Judge Jeffrey's favourite pubs because you could drink a pint and look at the gibbeted pirates hanging from Execution Dock on the other side of the river.
Ooh.
And that pub was called The Prospect of Whitby.
It's like Daggerfall. I don't know if you know The Elder Scrolls 2 Daggerfall.
No.
But it had a very large procedurally generated, or as we called it in those days, random map. And I think, I don't know. I think they got confused between the list of pub names and town names.
Mm.
So they had towns with names like pubs, and in that town, there would be a pub named like a town.
What?
So it would be a pub called, like, Western Zoyland.
Milton Regis.
In a town called, you know, the Miller's Arms. Just really confusing.
Oh, that is very confusing.
Really confusing.
The prospect of Whitby, though, it sounds like it's named after a concept. Like you'd have a pub called The Idea of Scunthorpe. The Threat of Carlisle. Judge Jeffreys was taken to the Tower of London, where he died.
Not a pub.
Not a pub.
A tower.
A tourist attraction now. And he died around 1692, probably in a lot of pain from a kidney infection.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, but then we didn't like him, so.
No, he's the bloody Aziz's guy.
Really awful.
Oh, and a freeze frame on the person that discovered Monmouth in the ditch.
Assizes.
Assizes.
Yeah, yeah.
And a freeze frame.
The farmer who discovered him on the ditch.
Yeah, freeze frame on them.
He's back in it.
Yep. Yeah. Their family fell into decay, and according to a letter written by the Earl of Shaftesbury in 1787, their house has fallen down, and it was with the greatest difficulty that anyone could be made to inhabit it. So there's sort of a bit of a curse there on them. And then it's like the post-credits bit, because this is the ghosts, because there's ghosts.
Okay. So like if you wait past that to see if there's a little teaser.
Yes.
Past the credits.
So back in
we've already done grips and best boys and catering.
Back during the bloody assizes, in Lyme Regis, 12 people were condemned to be hanged. And the night before the hangings, hanging Judge Jeffreys stayed at the Great House, which stood on Broad Street. And they say to this day his ghost still haunts the spot, gnawing on a bloody bone.
Ooh, like a dog.
Yeah. And there's loads of tales of Judge Jeffreys around the area because he was such a rotter. And in Sedgemoor Battlefield, that is meant to be haunted. And according to friend of the show, Folklore Myths and Legends of Britain, Reader's Digest edition, even today, the 1970s, the cruelty of that battle and its bloody aftermath haunt the memory of the West Country. The bitter spirits of slaughtered rebels are said to hang as balls of light over the battlefield, and strange shadows flit silently towards the River Carey, where they disappear. And there's ghost horsemen with cloaks flying in the wind, ghostly troopers, and even Monmouth himself fleeing through the Sedgemoor lanes. And in in the late 19th century, a farmer, you can do the voice, I'll give you the line.
Okay.
he said he heard on the moor someone he took to be drunk shouting, "Come over and fight."
I heard on the moor someone I took to be drunk saying, "Come over and fight."
That's very good.
He was he was standing at some distance, that farmer.
Yeah, he was still in the field.
I tried to imply he was one field over.
So there was one of Monmouth's followers was renowned as being really good at running, and he was promised his life if he could outrun a horse. So he was tied to a horse and raced across Somerset. And the horse did actually tire before he did, but his captors broke their promise and hanged him anyway.
Oh.
Yeah. His ghost haunts near Western Zoyland. You can hear the sound of running feet and pounding hooves.
I should think he'd be pretty annoying.
John Plumley, the Lord of Locking Manor, fled and hid probably in one of those little false cupboards that we've talked about before, but his dog gave him away and he was hanged.
Did he take the dog in with him?
No. And his wife picked the dog up and plunged to her death in the Locking Well. And her ghost, still carrying the dog, is sent to haunt the district.
Oh, so the dog died as well.
Where the dogs was a snitch.
fair enough.
Snitches don't get treats. Yeah, so that's it got spooky in the end. It started off as
very
a history
spooky,
lesson.
Yeah.
And a load of ghosts. That running ghost, though, that's pretty spooky.
That is good, yeah. Well, think of the next time you're enjoying a pocket full of peas, count your blessing.
Yeah, or gnawing on a bloody bone.
Or plunging into a well, clasping a dog.
Yeah, or being grassed up by your dog.
Yeah, think on.
Think on. So, are you ready to score?
Yes.
The story of the hanging judge ghost. Given that we're doing the scoring and we've just talked about the ghost, I'm going to start with Supernatural.
Okay, well...
that's a location of one of the ghosts.
You got me there. Okay, so that's 1 point already, just for a ghost who fell into a well. There were loads of them. There were absolutely loads of ghosts, but they were not evenly spread throughout the story. You put them all in right at the end, like the little bit of chocolate at the end of a cornetto.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? That's a good thing.
Which is the best bit of a cornetto, yeah.
Stops the ice cream leaking out. It has a practical purpose as well. I stopped too much facts leaking into this podcast.
All right.
By bunging it up with ghosts.
You've persuaded me. And I'm inclined to give you a four there, I think.
Mm-hmm. Not even little ghost of Monmouth with a pocket full of ghost peas. A ghost pocket full of ghost peas.
The ghostly peas. Now they'd be frozen peas wrapped around a cornetto.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, no, that's not so good. So sticking with four? Fine.
I'll stick with four, thank you, yes.
Okay, then. In which case, I'm going to say my next category, which is naming.
Western Zoyland.
Mm, Western Zoyland.
Great. Hanging Judge Judy. Great name.
William of Orange. That was just briefly
William
mentioned.
William of Orange.
Which is just
we
a
haven't mentioned
name.
Him. The famously uncontroversial but hilariously named historical figure, William of Orange.
I think he was Charles the, his mum was Charles the First's daughter or something like that. That was his claim to the throne.
Mm.
The duking days. The King of Taunton.
King of Taunton, yeah, great.
King of Taunton.
The bloody assizes?
Azizes. No.
Is it Azizes? I'm sure I've...
Assizes. Assizes. Because there's a sigh in there because it's not as fun as it should be. The bloody yes. assizes.
The bloody assizes.
The Rye House plot.
Yeah, I think it's a sly five, I think. It's not one of the ones where it's full of absurd names, but there's a
whoa,
lot
whoa,
of
whoa, whoa, whoa,
in
whoa,
there.
Alistair, I think you've forgotten the town of Wapping with the pubs, the town of Ramsgate, and the prospect of Whitby.
Well, I'd already given you a five.
Well, I just wanted to say that it was a good five, as you've...
It was a solid, solid five.
As you've proclaimed before, why aren't there capital numbers? Because that should be one.
I don't remember ever saying that, but okay. It's a capital five.
Maybe I read into it the idea that you were proclaiming it or lamenting it, but you did say, are there such thing as capital numbers?
Did I? There should be.
Maybe you just said there should be. You know what? You're right.
I was right. Don't remember saying it, but very wise.
My next category is bloody assizes.
Oh, they were, weren't they?
Weren't they just?
Flipping heck.
We've sort of teased the hanging judge. He's kind of cropped up as a bit part in some of the other West Country tales that we've talked on, but he's really coming to his own here.
I like courtroom drama.
Mm-hmm.
But these are, whenever you hear about the assizes, it's always like testimony from a goat. It's always some drunken aristocrat getting away with murder. I'm annoyed. I want a sort of Atticus Finch character. But there never is. It's just corruption.
Yeah.
All the way to the top.
And locals, yeah, getting killed. It was, although, in this case, the ringleader did not get away with it. He was beheaded at the Tower of London. With somewhere between 5 and 7 blows of the axe.
Ooh, yeah, yes, yeah.
And that is pretty bloody. That must have been bloody.
Yeah, and all of the people... Okay, the people hanged wouldn't
drawn
have been that bloody. Many of them were
quartered.
Drawn and quartered. And we both know you cannot reasonably quarter someone without making a bit of a mess.
No, you cannot do that humanely.
No. So it's a 5 out of 5 for bloody assizes.
I was going to say his ghost was also gnawing on a bloody bone.
It's a 5 out of 5 for bloody assizes.
Those bloody assizes. I think the final category just has to be... my dadness, really.
My dadness?
My dadness. Oh,
okay, your dadness.
My adadcula, which sounds more and more like Dracula.
Yeah, you're obviously a great dad. Good laugh. Fossils. Knows all about history, sort of.
Usually gets
90% correct.
Grubby history, grotty history.
Yeah, the cool stuff. But yeah, the stuff with all beheadings and peas and everything.
Pockets full of peas. And it turns out I've got a ghost child, it seems.
And you're even looking after a ghost. So, yes, Is it going to be kind of rude for me to give you less than a 5?
Yeah.
For being a dad.
Yeah, it would be,
wouldn't it? It would suggest that I don't have faith in you. It has been quite a highly scored episode, hasn't it?
Yeah.
How do you feel about a 4?
Yeah, I could do better. Could probably do better.
Could you? Okay. Well, I think a 5 out of 5 for dad. I mean, look, there's so many world's best dads mugs out there. They can't.
I've got 2.
You've got 2?
I've got 2.
That can't be accurate, can it?
No.
There'd only be one of those mugs if that was accurate. I'm going to say 4, room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Spend more time with the living instead of running after a ghost.
Just quick sidebar. If you are doing the last post, do make sure it's an actual bugle. It's very disrespectful to do the last post on a beagle. But it would sound a little something.
Arr, arr, arr. Can't be good for the beagles.
It can't be good for the player.
It can't be good. Everybody loses. That's war.
So was it worth it?
Yeah, we got there in the end, didn't we? A couple of ghosts and a nice old blob of history.
Just like to say thank you very much to our editor, Joe, for doing the editing there. Lovely stuff.
Because we said a lot of that in the wrong order originally.
Really badly. He really had a job on his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would like to hear some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, you can join on patreon.com/lawmenpod.
/. It does have to be a /.
And you'll also get access to the Law Folk Discord, where you can chat with like-minded law folk. And if you don't want to do that,
you don't have to.
Just give us a nice review.
A nice review, please.
We don't ask for much.
Just all your time and money.
Time or money, or time and money.
Yeah, either. Or both.
Are you going up? We've talked about this before. Are you slashing upwards? Or you're slashing downwards?
You're slashing from the bottom. You're slashing from the bottom.
Well, then you need to see a doctor.
Slash from the bottom.
That ain't right.